The most important one. The truth is, spiritual warfare is a battle for the mind. It's a battle for the mind. This shouldn't surprise us, though, really. After all that we've considered in this series, we know sin begins as a what? Thought, right? And just a suggestion, maybe an idea. And then Satan takes it from there. Now, building up the defense of our minds, that's the final step. This is how we live day by day in victory, by building up our mind. We have to replace Satan's strongholds with our own towers of truth, if you will. And these figurative towers of truth are the place that we flee to when untruth comes into our mind. You may recall, I think it was just last week, we looked at putting on the armor of God and the belt of truth and how important that is, that we know what truth is. So when Satan does come at us with lies, we have something to combat it. We have the truth. Here's a truth for you. My God shall supply all your needs. Now, we know that's a verse in the Bible, but that's also a truth that we can run to when Satan tells us lies, when he tells us we can't afford to tithe, when he tells us that we have to have this or we have to have that right now. And so I've got to put this first before God so that I can have it because I've got to have it now. God says the truth, I will supply all your need. Now, folks, once we have taken back ground that we've already been looking at, we've confessed, we've removed strongholds, we then want to keep the enemy from returning and reclaiming that ground that we fought to take back. This is why our minds are so crucial. So let's consider, first of all, the battle for the mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I hope you're there right now. Now, some of these truths we've already considered, but they're crucial, so we're going to look at them again. And then we'll consider how we can renew our minds as Christians, like Paul tells us to do in Romans 12. We'll look at that here in a little bit. Let's start with verse 13. Peter says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Girding up the loins of your mind. There's a picture here of a person tucking the ends of their robes into his waistband. And the purpose for that is so that they will be free for action. They're not going to be encumbered by that. We would say this today as roll up your sleeves and get to work. Okay, it's kind of the same figurative picture there. This is what God wants us to do with our minds, folks. He wants us to roll up our sleeves and get to work. We have to be proactive when it comes to guarding our minds. We can't be relaxed, sit back, and laid back, and just wait for things to happen and then deal with them when they come. We have to be proactive. Remember this. Thoughts come from three sources. They come from ourselves, they come from God, and they come from Satan. Those are the only three sources thoughts can come from. And woe to the person who can't tell the difference where they're coming from. Although I think maybe we've all been there at different times. Satan tries to plant thoughts in our minds and then get us to believe that they're actually not from him, but they're maybe our thoughts or maybe even God's thoughts. We'll look at that a little bit here. Look at these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this verse tells us that there is a false belief system out there. It says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. There's this false belief system out there that tries to squeeze itself into our minds, and to squeeze us into its mold, in fact. And this system is what the Bible calls the world, the flesh. And perhaps you can think of some verses right now that talk about that. That's what it's referring to. Our false belief systems need to be replaced with a belief system based on, can you guess, truth. Why? Because we draw on our belief system to help us make our decisions. Remember, several weeks ago I said what we value determines our evaluations. What we value, that's our belief system. Let's say, for example, that I believe friends are the most important thing in the world to me. And I place a high value on that. So I'm walking along one day and I'm confronted with a decision to make, either something God wants me to do, but that won't make me popular with my friends. But my belief system says friends are more important than anything. And my belief system then tells me how to decide. So we have to replace the false belief systems with truth. Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks, that's what he does. And it happens over and over again. So our challenge is to reprogram our minds to replace wrong thoughts with truth from God's Word. So there's two actions to take. Number two in your outline, two actions to take. Our passage in 2 Corinthians gives us these. The first one is we have to yield our minds. We have to just yield our minds. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He empowers us for obedience. The resources are there. Now we have to make the choice to yield our minds. That's where we fall when we don't yield our minds. Now, the second action is this. Accept God's Word as our final authority. You know what that looks like? Whatever God's Word says, that's what I'm going to do. I think Sunday night I related to you, like sometimes when people will call with a question, they're deliberating, should I do this, should I do that, or I think I'm going to do that, what's the Bible say about this? And many times I think, well, if I told you what the Bible said, would it make a difference? and I actually asked a person that one time. And no, it wouldn't make a difference. And so we have to decide that God's Word is our final authority. That means if God's Word says it, that's it. Doesn't matter what I think, what Oprah, Dr. Phil, Ellen, my friends, or anybody else out there thinks. God says it, that's it. That's our final authority. Now, why is that important? Folks, our strongholds are reinforced by our feelings. We all have them, don't we? I just don't feel like this is the right thing to do. Or I feel like this is the right thing to do. And it might go contrary to what God's Word said. This is where a person's commitment to the authority of God's Word, that's where it makes a difference. Because our commitment to His authority says it doesn't matter what I hear or what my feelings are even. God's Word says to do this, I'm going to do it, even though I don't feel like it's the right thing to do. Are we going to hold on to our wrong belief and wrong feelings about a matter, or am I going to believe God's objective truth from His Word? We have to make a choice. It just comes down to that. We have to decide to believe God minus the feelings, or hang on to our wrong beliefs that are reinforced by our feelings. So let's move on. Discerning the source of our thoughts. Number three. So if we are to take our thoughts captive, as it talks about there in verse 5, do we know if a thought is from the enemy? How do we know if we need to get rid of that thought? Okay? So letter A, identifying wrong thoughts. Now this is important because we as believers, we can fall victim to what can appear to be good thoughts. They may even be religious thoughts, telling us to do seemingly good things. And this is where discretion kind of comes into this. The difference is that when these thoughts that we are bombarded with sometimes, when they're from the enemy, okay, let me give you some characteristics of thoughts that come from the enemy. They're usually, they come with strong coercive force. There's pressure to comply with this thinking or this thought. There's usually pressure to go along with those thoughts. That is a lot different from what I read in Scripture and how the Holy Spirit works in our life. The still, small voice of God. The gentle constraining of the Holy Spirit's direction. He doesn't try to force us to do things. And if we're feeling this great pressure to go along with this thought, it's probably not from God, okay? Have you noticed God doesn't force ever? If there is pressure to comply, then that should be a red flag. But because sometimes these thoughts come in a religious disguise, we don't question their origin. We just kind of move along with it. We have to remember, folks, Satan doesn't care what tool he uses. If he can use the Bible, he'll use it. If he can use a church, he'll use it. If he can use religion, he'll use it. Just as long as he gets us bound up and renders us as useless for God. He'll use anything he can get. Now, letter B, recognizing Satan's attacks. Okay, Satan uses many, many ways to attack us. How can we tell when he's doing that? When a thought comes into our mind, how do we react to this thought? Versus, how do we react to God's truth? I want to just draw some comparisons there. Okay, let's first consider how Satan works. In Ephesians 4:17, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened." So, number one, Satan darkens the mind. Also, Satan corrupts the mind. 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve, corrupted her mind, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Satan also deceives with his wiles, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. Number four, Satan prevents understanding of the word. Mark 4:15, it says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." He blinds them to understanding the word. He doesn't let it get in there. And Satan also comes as an angel of light in order to spread darkness. 2 Corinthians 11:14 talks about that. That's how Satan works. But now, that's how he works in our minds. But let's compare that to a mind that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. The mind that's under control of the Holy Spirit is not darkened. It's not corrupted. It's not deceived. It's not without understanding of the word. But there is humility. Now, as we go through these, I want you to ask yourself, am I being described here right now? Okay? That will tell us who's got control of our minds, perhaps. Humility is a characteristic of a mind under the control of the Holy Spirit. A spiritual mind. I mean, ask yourself this. When was the last time you had a spiritual thought? At work or at home? I mean, anywhere other than here in church when we're singing a hymn out of the hymn book. When was the last time you had a spiritual thought? Spiritual minds have spiritual thoughts. a willing mind. That's the mind that when we hear God's word, okay, I'm going to do it. There's a willingness coupled with that spiritual mind and the humility and a sound mind. Now, folks, what we've just described here is a renewed mind that Paul talks about in Romans 12. So how do we get there? Let's look at that. Renewing our minds. Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn there in your Bibles. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We'll read that. I'll give you a second just to turn there. All right, Romans chapter 12, look with me at verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So it's saying, don't be conformed to this world's belief systems, but be transformed by renewing your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order for us to know right from wrong and what are good thoughts and what are not good thoughts, our mind has to be renewed. This is what verse 2 is saying, so that we can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in God's eyes. We must have that renewed mind. The exhortation to us to renew our minds is found right there in Romans 12, 2. But the Apostle Paul's plea for mind renewal actually begins in verse 1. So let's back up and look at that. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So the place to start in renewing our mind is complete surrender. Complete surrender. That literally means us saying, perhaps everything that I've always believed and thought was right in my own eyes, I need to chuck it out the window and just look and see what God's Word says. Complete surrender to whatever God's Word says. I believe that has to be a daily attitude of surrender. Now, let's just be honest here, folks, okay? My hand will be the first one to go up. How many times have you ever made a decision, either at church or camp or somewhere? Mine's the only hand. Okay. Yes. Now, those of us that have raised our hands, how many times have we made that decision and then sometime later on, it's like we never made the decision? I mean, and we heard this message. We were convicted. Maybe you even walked an aisle, and maybe you were even emotionally upset and there were tears of repentance and you surrendered to God. So what happened? See, surrendering is a daily attitude we have to do. It's not just a one-time decision and, okay, I've surrendered. It's daily. We just have to be honest about that. It's every day we have to have this attitude of surrendering to God's Word. Surrendering to God's Word. Because when I don't, guess what happens? Gerald gets in the way. Okay, and my wife can attest to that. She knows when I'm not surrendering. And you know when you're not surrendering. And we have to have that mindset of everyday surrendering. As someone once said, Paul's talking about, he mentions the phrase living sacrifice. We have to surrender. We have to be a living sacrifice. And someone once said, the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. Think about that. Absolutely true. That's what we do. Our minds, folks, they're alive. Our minds are active. They're taking in and processing hundreds, maybe thousands of thoughts every single day. That's why this is a daily discipline in spiritual warfare. It's something we have to do daily. Now, the good news is that we can train our minds the way we train our bodies. It's a positive process. The more we train our bodies, the stronger it gets, okay? In theory, all right? And the more we train our minds, the stronger our minds get. It's a positive building process. It's not just a matter of an emptying process of, okay, I'm going to get all the bad stuff out of my mind. I'm going to sit here until everything's out. Okay, there, it's out. We are never told in Scripture to empty our minds. Ever. Now, we do hear that today, don't we? You just have to empty your minds. A lot of modern meditation is just that. We have to empty our minds. Yoga. Meditating. Emptying your minds. Letting all that, those bad thoughts, that bad energy, let it all flow out. Hypnosis, folks. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been hypnotized before, or maybe you think it's okay. It's not. Look up the definition. That's what it entails, is clearing out your mind. In fact, Jesus warned us about the danger of a mind that is empty. He was talking about some folks, that a man that was demon possessed, and it was cleared out, swept clean. Guess what happened? Five more demons came back in. Christ warned us about the dangers of clearing an empty mind when it comes to demonic activity. So it's not just emptying our minds, it's building the right stuff into our minds. So let's look at a daily discipline for mind renewal. Now let me suggest some steps here that you can take to take charge of your thinking. First of all, test your thoughts. Test your thoughts. 1 John 4:1, it says, test the spirits whether they are of God. Get used to the process of examining your thoughts to determine their origin. Okay? Like, is this thought true? Do I know this to be true? If it's not true, then it's not from God, the God of truth. It's from the father of lies. Okay? We've got to get used to testing our thoughts. Thankfully, God has not left us on our own to try and figure things out here. His word gives us the standard by which we test every thought. See how it runs through the filter of God's Word. We don't need to fall into the trap of believing that God is just sort of open-minded about things. A lot of people believe that. Christians believe that today. If something is beautiful and true to me, then that's all that matters. There's that thought, false belief system that's out there. God's truth doesn't work that way, folks. What is the first piece of spiritual armor the Christian is supposed to put on? Do you remember that? The belt of truth. Everything hinges on that. So we have to test your thoughts. Secondly, refuse wrong thoughts. Just reject them. Folks, we have the power in Christ to just say no to wrong thoughts. Say it out loud if you have to. And if there's people around and they think you're crazy, so what? Just say no to wrong thoughts. Just say what Christ said to Peter when Peter was speaking things that weren't truth. Christ said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And say it out loud. It's okay. Maybe the lady in front of you at Walmart will actually get out of line and let you move up, right? Folks, the enemy can plant wrong thoughts in our minds, but he cannot force us to think about them, to mull them over. That's our choice. The thought's there. Okay, what do we do with it? We say no, or we start to think over and over and over again. Number three, James 4:6 tells us, resist the devil. Number four, memorize God's word. Now we're talking about replacing wrong thoughts with right ones. And the only infallible source of right thoughts is God's word. As you soak your mind in Scripture, and folks, I know I've been experiencing it. As you get older, it's harder to memorize. It happens. But the goal is not to be able to recite the entire book of James word for word. The goal is to, through the act of memorizing, you're soaking your mind with Scripture. Okay? I mean, it's almost like a sponge. And as you get older, let's say it holds less and less. Okay? And it runs out quicker. You just got to keep soaking it. Soak your mind with as much Scripture as you have time to soak your mind with. As you soak your mind in Scripture, here's what happens. You begin to think God's thoughts. The principle, it works. And the world has proven it to work as well. When they do studies on people in prison that are there for violations against other people morally. There, that's a good way to say it. And they do survey, or they study those criminals that have committed those crimes. You know what they find out? Their background is littered with the wrong thoughts. What you put into your mind is what's going to come out. We put Scripture into our minds, soak it, then we're going to begin thinking God's thoughts. All right? Number 5, set your mind on things above. Now, this is Philippians 4:8. It's a catalog. It's a really long verse. It's a catalog of what God wants us to think about. And since we're talking about the battle for the mind, this is a good verse to end on. Here is the catalog description. God lists them out for us that we're supposed to be thinking about. Whatever things are true. Now, we know the difference between true and not true, don't we? Things that we know to be true, not things I think I know, like the way Steve just looked at me just a minute ago. I know what he was thinking. Yeah, and it wasn't good. And he's probably mad at me. I know he is. I just know he is. No, I don't know he is. But see, if I spend all my time thinking about how I know Steve's mad at me because of the way he looked, or he didn't look at me, then what happens? I get myself into a worked up, depressive mess, and I'm discouraged. And it's all based on something I don't know to be true. Satan won. All right? So, whatever things are true, that's what I've got to think about. If it's not true, kick it out. Say no to that thought. Secondly, whatever things are noble. Noble. Now, this has to do with what is honorable, what is God honoring, worthy of our reverence and our esteem. It suggests that we should reject thoughts that are not noble, thoughts that are mean, thoughts that are unworthy of someone who is seeking to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not a thought worthy of someone like that, rejected. Think on things that are noble. Thirdly, whatever things are just. Now, in the Bible, the only true standard of what is just or right is God's righteousness. That's the standard. So, to think what is right, do what is right, we have to, I hate to say it, we have to meditate on God's laws. Again, His Word. Just take a look at Psalm 1, verse 2 sometime. And then it says, whatever things are pure. Now, this means, well, we know what pure means. Do y'all love drinking pure water versus impure water? Okay. I sure hope Camp Assurance gets enough money to take care of their water issue over there. They're raising funds for it to redo their water system because it is terrible. It ruins a good coffee ground. Okay. Coffee even tastes bad. I know some of you say, well, yeah, it does. I mean, you can't even make it taste good with Kool-Aid and lots of sugar. It still tastes bad. It's not pure, okay? We understand what pure is. When it comes to our thoughts, think about things that are pure, uncontaminated, clean, free of all moral impurity. Obeying this standard alone would eliminate half of the problems with our thought lives. And then God says to think about whatever things are lovely. Now, that would suggest thoughts that are pleasing, agreeable, moving us toward love rather than moving us toward that which is unlovely and unloving. Thinking about things that are lovely. And then lastly, whatever things are of good report. Now, the term good report there, it means well spoken of. Okay? Things that are well spoken of. It would suggest a commitment by us to speak only that which is favorable about others. So if it's not favorable, I'm not saying it. Even if it's true. Okay? Steve, I'm sorry. That wasn't favorable for me to point that out about you. And it wasn't even true. Okay? But you know how we do that, don't you? We get together and we're talking, we're in our own little group and we're chatting, and then we bring up this person and we're saying something about them that's not favorable. But it's true! But God's truth says, don't even think about things that are not of a good report. This doesn't deny the need for us to speak truth in love when needed. But you know how that's different? Instead of me talking with Steve about Charlie, I'm talking to Charlie about Charlie. There's the big difference right there. Even though it's true, Steve and I have no business talking about it. Things that are of good report. What Paul has in mind here is the opposite of that. It's slander. It's gossip. Even if it's true. Now, these folks, these are the thoughts that glorify God. Let me challenge you. Make the renewal of your mind a daily discipline. Okay? Even if it means reading Philippians 4:8 every single day. There wouldn't be anything wrong with doing that, by the way. God will honor you for it. And you're going to find spiritual power. You're going to have spiritual authority, fruitfulness in the spiritual warfare that we're in, and you're going to have peace. All right? Remember, a walk of spiritual victory is not a matter of one step at a time. It's a matter of one choice at a time. And we make many of those every single day. And God has given us all the resources we need to make the right choice. All right, we're going to stop there and have some prayer time here.